Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening. This program is sponsored by P4P Muscle, the number one drug for a sponsorship foundation in the world. If you are a drug-free athlete but with plenty of blood and are looking for a solid foundation to stand on with blood to give, and a vehicle to drive your goals like a stick through my heart. Check us out at P4PMuscle.com. Now, Desiree, give me your blood and then we'll talk.
Oh, my goodness. Can we get through September 1st? Blah, blah, blah. Yeah, next month. Next month, dude, but we already know what your costume's going to be. and if you all didn't know, Kaylin is an ankle biter, so it is very fitting very fitting that he would be a vampire for the Halloween holiday. So there you have it. So everyone, wear long socks. That's all I have to say. Wear long socks or stockings, and you'll be safe. Kaylin, how are you?
I'm doing just fine. Sunday's men's group thing function was so nice, and I'm super excited. You can tell I still haven't got my voice back.
All right, very cool. So I think we just need to go ahead and dive into tonight's show because we have had, actually we've got the third leg of what Kaylin likes to call the Three Musketeers, and I will ask him to explain that a little bit to us before we have our guest introduce himself.
I sure will. Who's getting situated? Because I hear some background stuff. Is that you, Howdy?
Yeah, that was me. Nah, I'm all good.
All right, well, sit still until we get this introduction, okay? And then you can do
right.
It. All right. In the natural community, you'll hear about these wonders of life, I guess the best way to say it. These guys are just phenomenal physiques, and everybody's really impressed with them. And the assumption is they're always on drugs. And I heard about that up in the Bolingbroke area, which I thought was funny because it just wasn't known as a place where lifters were going. So it was kind of an underground thing, which natural bodybuilding pretty much was back in the day. So there were these guys that just kept popping up, and, you know, I just never thought about it because they were so together. And, you know, I didn't really think about it other than the rumors that were swirling. And these guys would get in there and be hardcore, and they'd be in the, you know, doing it and speaking to each other about improvement. And I was thinking, well, they don't kind of fit in with the enhanced community because they were so giving. So it was kind of weird to hear about guys that are using, but they're basically such a tight-knit group. It just, you know, something just wasn't adding up. So then when you started hearing the truth that they were, what did they call them back then? Oh, I can't think of the name, but it was kind of an insult to naturals. But you can hear the jealous and the envy in it. And, you know, these guys are still going strong. They're not paying any attention to it because, you know, they're in the gym to work. And then they started getting called the Three Musketeers because they would always come in, do the work, and leave, but they were always together. So it's like they were fighting their battles or whatever. So I just thought that was comical that every time you'd hear it, you would hear that insult coming behind it. And there were two others. Well, actually, there were three, but these three guys were the ones that were pretty much the core of the group because I know you guys had Molson, you had his brother, and you had Jeremy that would tag in every now and then. But for the for the most part, it was you, Sam, and Ryan. So I was just overjoyed when I finally got a chance to meet all three of you at the same time. And I'll let you take it from there because I guys are quite accomplished in what you did because you had basically a reputation – that basically extended beyond bodybuilding or the gym because they were just working so hard to find out why you guys were having the transformation you were having.
Yeah. Yeah, it was, you know, it was very, very unique to be a part of that group, you know, and it's kind of like any other group that kind of comes together. Mostly happens by chance. Like you look at any popular music group, it kind of just happens by chance that three people kind of relocate from different suburbs all in one area with common goals, common objectives, common motivating factors, you know, common drives, and just kind of link together. And although, you know, not every single day it was like, hey, buddy, buddy, oh, we're the tightest knit group, you know, but it was like,
Hey,
anytime you need me, I got you, you know. And so the way that I kind of see that it happened was I was at the Northern Illinois University campus first. Went to transferred from Carbondale, and it's weird that I never met Ryan before I came to NIU, because we both were at Carbondale together. You know, he was on the track team. I was down there running to walk on to the track team or whatever, and he was doing long jump, I believe, or a field event. You know, but we never crossed paths down there. But that's where I was introduced to bodybuilding, is why I was preparing to walk on for a tryout for the track team. There's a guy named Robert Powell who got me started in bodybuilding, who's also a natural pro. He was like, hey, man, you should come and try this out. You know, and that kind of just took my mind and took me to a whole nother place. You know, and just, you know, that was my introduction to bodybuilding. I got first in my class and then took second overall, and that was just, you know, what got me hooked. You know, and so after my freshman year of college, I transferred to NIU, did it a year there, and then I started working in my profession, which is law enforcement. And so through that, I got to know a lot of people on the campus, and then Ryan transferred to NIU. And there was a guy that was like a guidance counselor, or maybe he was just like one of the guys that, you know, take the students around on like the move-in week. Hey, this is the campus. He was like, hey, I got this kid that I want to introduce to you. And it was Ryan. And I looked at him. I was like, holy crap, this kid is serious. You know, I was like, this guy is for real, you know. And so me and Ryan linked up, you know, and we started training together. Not in, you know, particularly for any particular show, but we started training together. I was, I believe, preparing for a competition and, you know, just training, feeding off each other, getting ideas. You know, he brought in a lot of refreshing things to me, and I'm sure I did the same for him. But then comes in the third piece, Sam. You know, Sam comes in with this just different, tall, lean, muscular, round, muscle belly physique or whatever, nothing I've ever seen. But Sam was, in my opinion, a little more rough around the edges, because he was doing more so full body workout type training stuff. I remember walking in and seeing him doing muscle ups, and stuff, which is nothing wrong with muscle ups and things of that nature. But I was like, man, this guy has real, real potential, you know. And I was introduced to him by a guy out here, Jerome Cole. And he was like, hey, man, you need to really get with this kid. I see the potential in him. I was like, I see the potential in him, too. You know, and I was like, you know, and so we all kind of just linked up together that way, just kind of with the same common love for the sport, you know, maybe coming from different backgrounds. Me and Ryan come from track, Sam coming from the military, and just kind of really loving fitness and training and kind of loving this thing called natural bodybuilding, you know. And so that's kind of how we got our start, you know, as far as associating with one another, to remember, you know. And so from then on, it's just been kind of, hey, you know, we're all in different places now, but we all kind of still come back to the same thing. I think over the last few weeks, we've kind of been doing like throwback Thursdays. Hey, remember when we used to push the car, you know, for cardio? We used to just put the car in neutral and push it the length of the parking lot. And, oh, remember when we used to do these sprints down the track, you know, 10, 100-meter sprints and, you know, just, you know, stuff like that, you know. It's a beautiful thing when you can get people together like that. And I think we kind of did a really good job here in this little city of DeKalb, Illinois.
Yes. You know. Yes, you did. And I'm going to jump in there, because sometimes I'm negligent in my talk show duties. And the thing is that Sam is Sam Okanula, and Ryan is Ryan Doors. And I'm going to throw something out there, because a lot of people don't understand. You know, a lot of times you see some physiques, and they might be new to bodybuilding, but they're not new to fitness. And I think that's where people get the misunderstanding of why they can transform their bodies in such a way that it looks so unique at the very beginning. But it's not a beginning for you guys because you've already been engaging those muscles. You're basically challenging them in a different way. And I think a lot of the people that don't understand true full muscle bellies is because they assume that the first time you pick up a weight that your body is ignorant of everything that takes, you know, growth. But basically it's just being shown a different way to work a muscle. And I'm really saddened sometimes because they see the results that you guys get and they say, oh, they were born that way. And, you know, it's kind of an insult to all the work your body's been put through or had to endure from the track and field, because it really makes a difference when you grow up being active, because your body basically is just constantly filling out. And that's a blessing in itself, but, you know, it still takes the work. So if you could talk about that before we get into the listener questions, and we'll go from there.
Oh, absolutely. I think it's real important to realize that, you know, when you come into natural bodybuilding, that is not anything where it's like, hey, I was, well, let me say this. We all have different journeys. You know, everyone starts in a different place. Some people come into it because it started off as a weight loss journey and it kind of transformed into, hey, I'm really deep into fitness now. I want to take this to the next level. But when you have people who have an athletic background that come from football, soccer, basketball, track and field, wrestling, et cetera, stuff where they kind of exert themselves over and over and over and they actually put their all into it. And we're not just talking about that naturally gifted athlete that can show up, destroy everything, go home, slam two pizzas and just, you know, we're not talking about that athlete that, you know, that naturally gifted guy. We're talking about the person who wants to obtain something that they've never had before. And so they start making these sacrifices. They start, you know, buying into these programs. Hey, man, if you want to do this, don't do that. You know, the biggest thing that was kind of instilled in me is if you want to be a successful athlete, you can't be smoking and drinking. I didn't have my first drink until I was in college, you know, and so that's how deeply I bought into it, you know, and I've never smoked, still never smoked to this day. You know, I just don't see the benefits of it. But, you know, I think it's very important to realize that, you know, you don't have to, you know, when you're an athlete, you don't have to necessarily start from scratch to be successful, because like you said, the body isn't ignorant to working hard. It's not ignorant to being sore. You know, it's not ignorant to any of that. It's just a new way of doing things. It's just a new approach. And so when we start introducing strength training programs and hypertrophy programs and all these other programs to get to the competitive stage or whatever, your body is just like, okay, this is a new transition. All right, this is a new form of cross training. This is a new whatever the case may be. And so when people see you for the first time, like, hey, man, you know, you put on, you know, what looks to be a significant amount of weight. You know, when people look at my pictures or photos off season and even on season, some people guess that I'm like 230, 240. I'm like, I've never been over 212 pounds in my life. You know, it's just the fact that I can feel, it's just the fact that I can fill out so well, you know, and create the illusion that I'm bigger than I am, you know, because I bought into the ideas of, hey, look, you need to work hard, grow slow, and make sure that you do everything properly. You know, I'm not in a rush. It's a marathon. It's not a sprint. You know, make sure you do all the things properly, because you don't want to be that guy that burns out in this career at 25. You know, like, yeah, I was on top of the world, and now I'm just, you know, I can't even get a first call out, you know, because you didn't take the time to do things right, you know. So it's kind of just building your physique from the ground up. You know, I think when you have athletes that come from different sports, I think they may be in a better position than your typical person because they're just used to it. You know, it's just a new platform for them to compete. You know, that's the way that I look at it. This is just another platform. I played football. I played basketball. I played soccer, cross country, track and field. I wanted to do baseball, but I was too busy, you know? And so it's just another platform for me to say, hey, look, I get to be competitive. You know, my career doesn't stop because I left high school. I can continue this, you know.
No, awesome. I mean, in all good points, you know, that people need to take to heart, keep in mind, and just, you know, when you get to that point where you're starting to figure out, do I want to do something like this? Do I want to pursue it? Do I have what it takes? You know, if you have that athletic background, like Abby said, great. Your body more than likely is going to respond a little bit faster than not. But even if you don't,
yes,
you can still get to the place where you want to be. And
exactly.
and it'll all be new, but it can still be done. It can definitely still be done.
Mm-hmm.
All the same mentality applies, though, whether you have an athletic background or not. Listener questions are starting to pile up, so let's dive into those. Sarah
all
wants
right.
to know if you and Sam or Ryan have competed in any shows together.
Me and Sam have not. Me and Sam, actually, we've done guest posing together, which very fun. Me and Sam, me and Ryan, we competed in the 2012, I believe, PNBA Mr. Universe.
Mm-hmm.
That was maybe 3 months to earn my pro card. And so it was immediate for me. That was kind of like the eye opening, the ah moment. Like, hey, you know, you may have just turned pro and you may be above quite a few of the athletes in the amateur rankings, but wake up, because there are tons of pro athletes that have been doing this for years, you know. And so that was actually like my first like true loss. Like, hey, wake up, you got work to do. But yeah, me and Ryan competed in that one competition together. And me and Sam, we've done one guest posing together.
That show was stacked.
Yeah, and we were on, you remember that, man? We were on stage for like an hour. We was up there almost an hour.
Yeah.
I've never been in a competition where we were under the hot lights. I mean, and just rotated in, rotated out for almost an hour.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
Talk about dehydrated.
No doubt. And for those of you who know, for those of you who know, like 20 minutes is a long time. So if you're up there for close to an hour, that is a super, super long time. And then just to tack on a little bit to what Abby was saying. So for those of you who remember, or maybe you don't, we had Sam on the show a couple of weeks ago. So if you didn't get a chance to take in that interview, you'll definitely want to hit the archives and check that out. But just to talk about your pro experience, which is, you know, we've had this debate before. When you first turn pro, do you wait and, you know, train before you step on the pro stage, or do you just go ahead and do it? And, you know, opinions are kind of split on that. But in thinking back to Sam's interview, he's like, just get out there and do it, because that's the only way you're going to get the feedback you need to know how it is you need to improve for the next time that you're on stage. So his stance was, don't wait,
absolutely.
Just do it, which kind of sounds like that's what you did.
Yeah, absolutely. And the only reason I did it, because I had the stance of initially, oh, man, I just turned pro. I want to train harder. I want to get, you know, I want to make all these improvements before I stage. But the fact of the matter is, if you've never been on a pro stage, you don't know what to expect. You know, you can attend all the shows you want to, but it's just another level of mental preparation, of physical preparation that, you know, I've been here before amongst the amateur ranks, but now, you know, I'm one step up and everybody looks good. You know, not only does everyone have good legs, good chest, but everyone has good glutes, good hamstrings, and a nice back. And so you really don't know where you sit until you step on the stage and compete against those other competitors. And so Ryan actually talked me into it. This was the first year that PNBA had brought the Natural Universe back to Chicago, or the Chicago suburbs. And he was like, hey, man, you don't want to be ready for the show and then he take it away from you when you could have got it. And I was like, you know what? That sounds like a challenge. I was like, you know, I'm not going to run away from a challenge. He was like, you know, too many people are probably going to come out to Chicago. You don't want the first one to be a sleeper and I just walk in and take it. And I was like, I think he's challenging me. I was like, you know, I'm not going to run from it. You know, and so that's, I think, what, not even 3 months. It was short after I got my pro status that I signed right up. As soon as he said it, the next day I was like, yep, I'm committed. So, yeah,
I'm
I absolutely agree.
Let's do it.
Yeah. Yep. As soon as you get your pro card, man, find that competition, get your feet wet, do it, and learn from it. You know.
There you go. There you go. So Brenda thinks that she remembers you from DeKalb, or seeing you in DeKalb at the Natural Midwest States. And she's curious if you attend a lot of natural shows as a supporter.
The OCB Midwest States is a show that I've judged regularly for quite a few years. It was actually the first show I did in DeKalb when I moved out to DeKalb, when it was just three of us, three men's open bodybuilders. You know, and so
wow.
I've kind of had a connection with that show and the promoter of the show. Ray Binkowski. He's allowed me to, that's where me and Sam guest posed that one year. Also me and Robert Powell, we guest posed there as well a few times, and I've judged that competition quite a few times. And so anytime it's here locally, yeah, I'm there. Typically if I don't have to work or if I can find someone to take my shift, I love to be there at least for the night show so that we can see the results of the competition. But yeah, usually I try to make whatever comes around in the suburbs, Bolingbrook, Schaumburg, even Chicago, even though I missed the Windy City Naturals this past week. I wasn't able to make it there where Sam competed and dominated. I'm pretty sure that I've come across there at some point or another.
Well, there you go. So, Carla, next time you see him, you're going to have to introduce yourself now. So you've been called out, but now you just have to walk into him and say, hey, do you remember me from DeKalb? And I was listening to P2P Real Talk and da-da-da-da-da. So
mm-hmm.
Now, Carla, it's on you. Come up and say hi.
I'm a resident out here, so you'll likely see me at one of these gyms. I'm a member at every last one of them. You know.
There you go. So I apologize up front. You guys know I'm notorious for murdering a name, right? So it's just not one of the gifts that God gave me, being able to pronounce names at the first get-go. So hopefully I'm going to say it's Mo. Mo, if I'm sorry. But Mo wants to know, so Ryan Doris has his own podcast, and Mo wants to know, Abhi, if you will be on Ryan's podcast.
I may. I don't know. I don't see why I wouldn't, but I'm pretty sure Ryan has his own direction that he wants to take his podcast. You know, I've talked
mm-hmm.
to him here and there, not necessarily about anything business related or podcast related, just, you know, to see how he's doing in life. You know, he separated from his company, DeNovo, and now he's doing his own thing. And so, I don't know, it may be something to, you know, maybe that's just the idea that needs to spark the situation to happen. You know, it's, hey man, put me on your podcast. Let's just talk, get on there and talk about nothing.
Yeah.
You know, so
there you go.
But yeah. So,
well, he's an intelligent fellow. So, and you guys can run good in a good conversation. So, I'm sure the visuals and the speech would be just great to do. I mean, it's got to be great to have great minds in the same room. That's got to be an awesome.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Remember that interview we did at Ray's place at Fitworks? Just on the couch.
Oh, I'll never
talking.
Forget it. I'll never forget it.
Yeah.
Well, now I have to see this video. Kaylin, you're going to have to dig it up and repost it. Is it on your YouTube channel?
It's on Midwest Muscle. Yes, it is.
All right. So Midwest Muscle YouTube. We'll have to look for it. Y'all can look. So Abhi, getting back to the listener questions. Bobby wants to know,
okay,
which is harder, competing in a show or judging?
Oh, great question. I think, I think it's a two-sided coin. Obviously, I think the hardest thing is going to be to compete in a competition, because not only are you competing against others, but you're competing against yourself. you know, when you get to the point where you realize that you're actually competing against yourself and not others, then you're at that point where you're like, okay, this is harder than I thought. You know, because no longer does it become a battle of, hey, I got to do this and I got to do that, beat that this person over here, because you really don't know what you have to do to beat that person over there. You just know what you have to do to compete against yourself, meaning that when I got on stage in November, I looked like this and these were my weak points. And so now I'm getting on stage again in July and I need to be better than I was in November. But I think when you compete, or it's harder to compete against yourself for that reason, but it's also hard to judge, because you have to be knowledgeable of what organization that you are judging for, and you have to be and you have to kind of hold up to that standard. And so if I'm judging for organization A and I go over their criteria for a certain category, I can't just base it off what I like. I have to base it off what their criteria is and hold the athletes to that standard. And so same thing when you judge for organization B. You know, I mean, some promoters kind of give you a little leeway, but I think it's important to stay to that organization's criteria, because this may be the organization that a particular athlete lives and dies by. This is the only organization that they're going to compete in, and they want to be successful only in this organization. Well, you can't come into this organization judging with the criteria of another organization, and then, you know, they don't place how they should have, because you just want to see what you believe is a winning physique or figure. You know, and I think it's hard to judge people. It's very difficult to judge people, especially when you have more than 10 competitors on a stage, because you continuously have to rotate and you have to pick people apart. But ultimately, I think it's harder to compete, because you honestly really don't know what you're preparing for. You just know that you're preparing to look better than you did before, you know.
Totally agree with all that. And those are the exact same things that Kayla and I have been saying. We couldn't have said it any better than what you just said. So thanks for sharing those thoughts.
You're absolutely welcome.
We're not just spouting off here. So, you know, sometimes we really are on to something every once in a while. You know, you just never know. So Carla, so with you being in law enforcement, she wants to know how you view steroid use and how that has impacted the sports realm and also just gym life in general.
You know, steroids are, and this is just kind of like the Sunday after school special answer. Steroids are illegal and I'm against them. You know, it's an illegal substance, and you know, I have no part of it. My personal opinion of it is it's something that I don't need, I don't want, and something that I'll never do. And people say, well, you say that now, you know, think about when you get to a particular point in your career, maybe there's nowhere else for you to go. Well, if there's nowhere else for me to go, then it means I need to go somewhere else. You know, the only reason I came into bodybuilding is because I fell in love with it, and I fell in love with natural bodybuilding. Do I look to other organizations where people aren't natural to, you know, maybe get motivation or really admire someone else's physique? Absolutely. But, you know, natural bodybuilding is where I'm living at, you know. And so my opinion of it is I'm not for it. I don't like it. Do I understand that people do amazing things with their physiques with it? Absolutely. You know, but it's just not for me. It's not anything that you'll hear me promote. You know, I won't talk other athletes down, like, you know, oh, man, he's not this or that because he uses drugs. That's just his personal preference. You know, that's what he chooses to do with his body. That's what she chooses to – the directions that she chooses to take her career. You know, whatever. You know, do whatever it is you do, but just own it. You know, don't sit here and come in my arena and tell me that, oh, I'm natural as well. No, you're not. You know, you're not natural.
Right.
And it makes a big deal, because there are people who are dedicating themselves, their lives, to competing in this natural organization and try to hold up to that standard and that integrity. And granted, while it's just another competition to you, this could be the world to someone else. This could be the deal breaker. You know, this could be, man, yeah. am I really cut out for this? You know, and here you are waltzing in, coming off of a cycle, you know, just blowing away the competition, not knowing that they never had a chance, because for 5-6 years you've been doing whatever it is you've been doing. And so with me being a police officer, you know, I mean, it's one of those things where it's kind of hard to address because no one ever believes that I'm natural. I even had a guy last week ask me, you know, as I'm leaving the gym, hey, I heard you're a bodybuilder. I'm trying to get started. I don't know which route to go, this organization or that organization, you know, and I won't mention a name. And I was like, well, it depends on where you want your career to go. You know, I mean, it depends on where you want, what you want out of this. You know, if you don't know, start off in the natural organizations. If you do know, you have to consult someone else, because I don't know how to get you there, brother. You know, and so for me, my career says that, you know, steroids are a no-no. My personal life, you know, I've always been the competitor where I want to compete on a fair plane, on a fair field. You know, everyone has a fair shake at this. Maybe you're just starting, maybe you're 10 years in, but you've worked hard for 10 years without the aid of sports science technology supplements, as we can call them, or steroids. And I want to be able to compete on that same field. I don't mind getting beat down by you as long as we're on the same field, on the same playing field. You know, I don't mind that. You know, I took a lot of losses or whatever, a lot of L's in my pro career. You know, Marshall Johnson gave me my very first smack in the face. You know, and I was like, this guy. I was like, I sized him up backstage. I was like, yeah, I think I can hang with him. And that conditioning was just on a whole nother level, you know.
Yes.
And, you know, just a whole nother level. You know, I took second place to him, and eye-opening. So, you know, I'm against steroids. You know, I mean, there's if I wasn't, I probably wouldn't be competing in natural organizations. You know, so.
Yeah. Well, you know, I'm gonna jump in on this because it's like so many tiers to that answer, and I mean like stack levels, I guess the best way to say it, instead of tears, not crying, because there's some people do get cheated. It does hurt, and it should hurt because they've been cheated. Something like Abby was saying, it's you have people that basically put their heart into something, which is basically their passion, and then to find out they were cheated out of that, it can really take away from the moment and the event. And let's just go to different scales and different levels of what you're doing when you cheat in a natural event. Because in a natural event, you have a lot of people that are going with the mindset that everything's clean, clear, and right. And then you basically undermine that thinking and cause all kinds of doubt and all kinds of fear. And the promoter suffers, the event suffers, the venue suffers, and everybody that really had a love for natural bodybuilding has now called it into question. There's so many things that go about that the cheater doesn't even consider because of the selfish thinking in nature. And I've unfortunately seen where the show in Indiana, because so many people had failed the drug test, and they were caught. You know, every one of them were caught in the show. But because there's so many that had cheated at that show, they basically wanted to blame the judges for doing their job. If that's the best looking person on stage, that's the one you got to put in first place. But, you know, like I said, with the drug testing, it was done. And, yeah, they were found wrong, but then nobody wanted to go back to the event because they figured, you know, it's going to happen again. And there's so – look, I mean, you think about that. That was a good show in Indiana, and it was close to the highway. It was close to – it was a nice venue. And all of that's gone now. It doesn't exist because some idiot basically brought a team of juice heads in there and ruined everything. So if you like I'll be saying, there's so much involved in it. And if you're going to be that way, then be that way. But you're not helping anyone or anything. And I know it's hard to talk to a selfish person about being selfless, but we still got to put it out there, and we still got to speak against it because there's no way that should be acceptable. I'll let you finish out there.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. I mean, I deal with that. It's something that you see. Well, I don't want to say all the time, but it's something that when you see it, it's kind of like, well, you know, what is your motivation for doing this? You know, I mean, why is it that you feel that you need to, you know, take steroids or growth hormones or whatever you need to do what's against the rules to be successful? And like you said, it's just a selfish person who says, you know what, man, I wasn't good enough to compete without this stuff. Now I'm going to compete with it, which is fine, cool, but do it somewhere else. You know, don't come into this arena where people are sacrificing everything, you know, because the sport and lifestyle of natural bodybuilding isn't one that you get paid back in dividends financially. I mean, you're going to put way more into it than you'll get out of it. You know, it's more so people who have come to the realization that this is my lifestyle. This is what I really love to do. This is my passion. And you know what? I'm going to sacrifice my money. I'm going to sacrifice my time. I'm going to sacrifice my sleep, my, you know, and everything else or whatever so that I can realize a personal goal or a dream of mine. You know, and then you have those people who just, you know, they may want the same thing, but, you know, they're going about all the wrong way and against whatever the organization kind of intended for it to be. You know, and those people, you really can't reason with. It's like, you know, you ask them, why are you doing this? Well, you know, I mean, I wasn't able to be as successful, you know, when I figured, you know, everybody else is doing it. No, everyone else isn't doing it. You know, I hate to keep going back to myself or whatever, but I just remember when I was coming in my sophomore year of college, no one would believe me when I say I was natural. I'm like, you know, the thing is, when I was in college, I wasn't the big, well, my freshman year, I was partying a lot. My sophomore year, I was done with it. Yeah, you know, I was done with it my sophomore year. And I kid you not, 3.5 hours in the gym was nothing to me. You know, it was like, hey, man, what are you doing? Oh, yeah, we just got done lifting weights or whatever. I got a buddy, Ben, who does martial arts. Cool, let's go do some martial arts. You know, I got nothing else to do. You know, that I'm spending all my time in the gym, you know, and then just go eat a ton of food. You know, I really didn't even really use supplements until going into my junior year of college or something like that. I was like, oh, man, they make protein in a jug? You know, like,
right?
Wow. You know, and it was you know, I was like, wow, this is awesome. You know, and so it's just sad when you got, like you said, people who will undermine the sport, you know, because it takes away from the idea of it, and it takes away from, you know, what it was intended to be. And it's just sad to see, but I love when people get called and people get called about it. I love how the PNBA has their Hall of Shame. I love how, you know, they have lifelong suspensions or whatever from the organizations. I love it because if you get caught, I think you should be banned. You know, I don't think you should be able to come back. I don't think you should be able to reclaim anything. You know, I think that you should have done. You know, you chose to go that route. You got caught. You know, there's a place for you. It's just not here.
Exactly.
You know.
And they have the avenue, they have the venues, they got everything except for a level playing field, and that's what they're looking for, is to basically have that that advantage.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know, so, yeah, it's just sad, you know, but eventually, you know, all the organizations will get on one accord, and, you know, that's what I'm really hoping for. That's what I would really love to see, because I know there's been a lot of splintering going on in the last years, these different organizations. And, you know, I would just love to see everyone get on one drug testing accord, one judging criteria accord, to be honest. That would be great. And just, you know, come together, man. You know, we can bring all these organizations together and have one championship competition, and that would be awesome. That would be awesome. You know, one, you know, everyone put their name on it. The IPE, OCB, PNBA, DFAC, BNB, you know, just everyone, you know, and then get all these natural athletes together And I mean, the Olympia is a whole weekend. You know, why can't this be? You know, just how it should be. You know, put it together, make it happen. Everyone, you think you got the best of the best athletes? Cool. You think you got the best athletes? Cool. I think I got the best athletes. You know what? We'll just have a, hey, I'm going to bring three, my best three. You bring your best three. You bring your best three. And then we're going to see what's what, you know, something, you know. Because it's hard to call yourself a champion when you have so many organizations that have champions. You know,
there you
never
go.
Really, you know, everyone has a champion, and I get it, you know, but there can only be one champion.
That's right.
You know,
we'll
and who is it?
Highlight.
Yeah. Yeah, so.
So amen to all of the above. That'll be the next slogan. Mm-hmm. There can only be one. There can only be one. All right. So speaking of that and only one champion, Dale wants to know, Abhi, if you're going to be doing a show anytime soon.
Not this year, but my plan is to compete again next year, maybe middle of the year. I haven't really looked at an exact date, but my last show was 2014 in California, which I won. That was the only pro win. Everything else
was
second place, third place, fifth place. You know, stuff just didn't go well for me or whatever, and I decided to take a little time to, you know, I just had a son, and so new parent.
Adorable.
You know, just switched jobs, you know, from one department to another, and so new correction. Had a lot going on, and I said, you know what, let me just take some time, you know. And so about 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago, I put a post on Instagram like, hey, it's day one of prep, you know, saying it out loud for me makes it real. And that's what I did. And it's just been going well since, and I think I got things kind of in motion for 2018 to happen for me. So 2018 will be the year, be the year of my next competition. Hopefully, I'll be able to do multiple. I don't want to just do one. I want to at least do three. And what those three are yet, I don't know. Yeah, so I don't know yet.
One of them better be local.
Oh, yeah. You know, I definitely will be doing one locally. Chicagoland area. I just, you know, have to see what's out there because, you know, I do pay attention to what still goes on, but not nearly as tightly as I used to when I was competing every year. Oh, yeah. And so, you know, that's going to be my homework, you know, see what's going on out there and where I can kind of fit in and be competitive.
Well, and that's good.
Yeah.
You know, 2018 should definitely be a good year because there have been some rumblings of some other pro bodybuilders out there that have taken some time off and sounding like they're going to be coming back onto the stage in 2018 as well. So we're just going to have to keep our eye on all of that activity.
Well, there is a
show
in Madison.
There is.
Say that again.
2018. Yeah. I said there is that show in Madison in 2018.
Oh, yeah,
so,
absolutely.
There's lots of shows everywhere. So, Madison, across the Midwest. And again, yeah, I'm going to hype the Midwest because we've got it going on. We definitely do. So, a lot of good stuff.
Oh, yeah.
And a lot of pro shows coming online. So, you got to keep your eye on all of it. So, all right, Abhi, next question. Let's see.
Okay.
Have you ever been approached to use drugs? And what response should the children be given to say if someone approaches them?
Well, I'm assuming we're talking about sports enhancement drugs.
Let's just stick at that realm.
Okay. Yeah, I have been approached to use drugs. Back when I was first starting out, between the ages of 19 and 21, which is a very brief period of time. I won't say the organization's name at all, but I think I was getting primed, you know, kind of like primed to be a somebody, you know, and you know, I was given things, I was given a sponsorship, you know, I was flown here, flown there to compete here, compete there. I didn't know what was really going on, but, you know, every time after a competition, hey, man, you look good, but we need you to look the same way, probably at about 220 pounds. I'm like, you do realize I'm only 178, like, off season, you know, and this is me in 19, 20, 21. And, yeah, we get that, but we need you to be, you know, you have very good lines, you have small waist, you look, we just need you heavier. So I guess I can up my protein intake and I don't think you're getting it. And it went on for a year and a half, and me being so oblivious to this, not really knowing anything about drugs and stuff like that, cause I'm just getting into the sport maybe 2 years before, you know, I talked it over with a friend. I was like, hey, man, I think they want you to use drugs. I'm like, drugs? Like steroids, you know, stuff to get you swole? I'm like, no, they don't. This is a natural organization. Yeah. He kind of just gave me the yeah look, like, right. Mm. You know, and I'm like, you know, just so dumbfounded. And so I kind of just asked the question. I was like, you know, is this what you want me to do? And they're like, yeah, is this something that you think you can do? We can get you set up. And I was like, hey, man, I don't know anything about this stuff. I don't want to touch it. Sure enough, within 3 months, that sponsorship was gone. You know, like gone. Mm. Like, yeah, it was good having you, but we don't need you. You know, and so my message would be, you know, just stay true to who you are. Don't sacrifice your integrity for a quick payday or for some, you know, online fame or whatever the smoke and mirror offer is, because at the end of the day, you know, there's no life insurance policy for this stuff. There's no insurance for this. If you get hurt, the only reason I was able to obtain one sponsorship that I had is because the guy in front of me got into a bad car accident, you know, and he couldn't fulfill his sponsorship, and I got it. They just said, hey, I hope you get better, you know, and sent them on his way. And so you don't want to be in a position where it's like, hey, man, you're doing all this stuff for this organization, and the only thing that you're getting back out of it is some empty promises and maybe, you know, some free supplements or whatever. I mean, you look at who's arguably the greatest bodybuilder of all time, Ronnie Coleman. He was still a full-time police officer, he said, because he needed the health insurance. You know, there's no insurance in bodybuilding on any level. You know, once you're on, you're on. Once you're off, and, you know, we can use you as long as we can use you. You know, you may be good with the owners or the promoters of organization. They'll help you out how they can. But, you know, there's no 401k for bodybuilding. There's no health insurance policy. There's no union. You know, there's just, hey, get up here and do whatever it is you can do. And, you know, as long as you're the topic or the hot person, we'll help you along as far as we can. But if not, you're just another face in the crowd. And so, you know, if you think drugs is going to get you, you know, these accolades, you know, it may give you a couple of, you know, a couple of head turns, or it may get you a couple of, hey, man, you know, tell me what you did to get how you are. But, you know, it's not worth it, you know, and I would say avoid it at all costs, you know, because there's, I don't want to say no one, but there's very few people who can do the right education on how to consume these substances without really harmful side effects or whatever. I mean, they all come with potential side effects, you know, and you don't want to be in a position where you take extra milligram of that or an extra microgram of this or whatever, and now you're having all these horrible reactions and potentially, you know, killing yourself, you know, for the promise of a sponsorship or for the promise, whatever the case. You know, it's nothing I would, like I said earlier, nothing I will promote and nothing that I care to be a part of.
Yeah. And, you know, wow, that's a good point that you brought up, is that, you know, these people are doing it to get some kind of fame and some kind of recognition, and then it's basically like the Michael Jackson song, you know, when he's with the Jackson 5. Everybody loves a star when he's on the top,
mm-hmm.
but no one ever comes around. Huh? when it does drop. So, you know, it's kind of futile because everything they're fighting for, it's so fleeting, it's like sand slipping through your hand. You can't hold on to it, even if you – because, honestly, the biggest thing is your body doesn't understand drug use. It just knows how to react to it. And it doesn't have a memory of that. And that's why it always goes away when they stop that use. Because I used to joke about the guy at our gym that uses, but when he runs out of his cycle, he runs out the gym. So you don't see him unless he's basically got his next cycle to get in there because he feels he's so small. And there is a dysmorphia, body dysmorphia, that is attached to drug use that's much worse than any natural will have. And it's really something to see because these guys that are just so masculine and so powerful and got so much advice, when they're not on their cycles, they're almost like quiet church mice. Church mice.
Oh yeah, yeah, and I mean even the biggest person in the gym probably can't give you the best advice for what to do for your particular body. I mean, there's experts in the field who are, you know, you wouldn't even think that they have any knowledge about training, bodybuilding, nutrition, or whatever. And they, you know, I'm not going to say guru because that's a you know, high praise to put on someone, but they elites and experts and very knowledgeable people in these fields that, you know, that you just wouldn't think, you know, just because you have the muscle and you have eyes and all that stuff, it doesn't mean you know how to coach someone else to get there. You know,
exactly.
You know, so don't be fooled by the smoke and mirrors. Just because someone has it doesn't mean they know how to get it. You know, I mean, it's very hard to impress, especially natural, put together that physique. You know, it's not anything that's going to happen in 2 years, 3 years. You know, I think Cliff Wilson even said on one of his posts that people don't realize that just within a few years, you're only going to put on a couple pounds of muscle. These people that say, yeah, I took a year off and I put on 15 pounds of muscle. 15 pounds of muscle? How did you do that, sir? Like, what? You know, there's no way. You know, the body doesn't work like that.
That's a definite red flag right there. That's a definite red flag.
Yeah, natural athletes will not put on 10 pounds of muscle in 1 year. And I don't care. Argue with me if you want to. You're not going to put on 10 pounds of muscle in 1 year, you know. So, but it's what it is, you know. And I would just suggest people stray away from it for as long as they can, forever if they can. But you know, if you decide that your career, your lifestyle wants to go that way, you're a better person than me because I'm not going to jeopardize my health,
your family,
or yeah, any of that, you know, my integrity just for a couple of likes on Facebook and Instagram and, you know, one day you're here, the next day you're gone, you know.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Only as good as your last success, if that's not so true.
Exactly.
So, James, we didn't mention you earlier, but thanks for that last question that sparked all of these thoughts. Abhi, we are at the point in the show where we'd like to turn the floor back over to you, but this time to give shout-outs to anyone and everyone who has been there as a help or support to you throughout your bodybuilding journey.
You know, the list can potentially go on forever and ever. You know, you just mentioned the people, you know, who you've gotten just a little speckle of something from, you know, it's like, oh man, that just kind of changed my perspective on things or whatever, you know. And so, first of all, you know, I can't not acknowledge the guy who got me started in bodybuilding, who was Raul, who I had the pleasure of, you know, once I turned pro, dedicating my time to him to get him to turn pro or whatever, you know. Two-way sweep, Ryan, then Rob, all at the same 3 years in a row. It was kind of fun. And then of course Ryan Doris, Sam Okinawa, and those guys are just awesome and great. You know, can't not acknowledge them. And then my home base team, you know, my wife Tammy, who puts up with all the crap that comes along this lifestyle and the eating habits and stuff like that. You know, my friends who, when going through my training that I do, who are still my friends after the fact. You know, I love every last one of you, and I appreciate you. And, you know, just all the people who I've come across in my journey. Like I said, the list can go on and on forever and forever. You know, there's people who I reach out to all the time, people who I just watch, people who may just, you know, spark an idea in my head that just gives me a whole new approach and perspective of what I need to do, how I need to approach this. You know, the list can go on and on, and I definitely want to thank all the people who have beaten me in my pro career, because, you know, it's because of you all that I'm growing, especially Meshack. You know, if you've never seen Meshack before, you have not seen an impressive guy that's like 5 feet, you know, 5 feet tall, if that, you know. And so a guy like him is, you know, someone who is just motivating. You know, it was great to be on stage to be compared to him, and hopefully we'll be able to do it again. And, you know, just everyone who I've come across, you know. So those are my thanks and appreciations and shout out. And I love you.
That's a great job, Ali. But I'm going to, you know, like, we just had the men's service Sunday at our church, and it went really well. And I'm going to end it with a good story of a good man. And we were at the Midwest States, and we were having a great time, and everybody was talking to you because, like you said, you were winning, and people were loving this guy that was in the area, and they knew him, and they could talk to him, and they were approaching you like crazy. And you said, you know,
yeah,
I'll ask a question after I change my son's diaper. And that, to me, that's what it's all about, you know, because I think I even got a picture of that and posted it, because I was like, you know, that shows your priorities. You know, there's people that cater to fame, and then there's people that cater to family, and there's some people learn how to balance both. And I thank God that you've been able to balance that and do that juggling act in a way that it's not really a juggling at all. It's just like a balance, and you found a way to make it happen, because that's what it's all about at the end.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely right. You're right. I remember that too. That's that's funny. But yeah, I appreciate that, man. I appreciate that acknowledgement. You know, it's
a
ton of people out here.
Yeah,
a ton of people out here with that attitude. You know, we just got to make sure that we acknowledge those people, and so that stuff can get passed on and continue, because that's what the sport's about. You know, a balance. So, yeah.
I just want to say thank you for being on the show. Thank you so much. Awesome job, man. And you brought out some points that Des and I have already spoken about, but there's some with the perspective that you gave that will challenge me to work even harder to get the message out, because we've been doing seminars and lectures that basically help the children understand that you can attain a physique that's muscular without the use of drugs, and they really are starting to understand that, which is much appreciated.
Yeah.
We're in a generation that's truly drug addicted in so many facets with everything else. We don't need another avenue to take away a child's life, because their bodies aren't developed in a way that can even accept that kind of drug use or that level of drug use.
Mm-hmm. I agree. That's well said. Absolutely. Yeah. You know, if you guys ever need me to do anything, you know how to reach me. You know, just reach out and...
Yes, sir.
You know,
we have we're working on a PNBO show next year where we can have people down, and they can see what full muscle bellies look like without all the enhanced weight that basically puts strain and stress on the body, because there's so many things that we can talk about, but without basically that platform. And we are walking billboards of health. If we don't get out there and speak up for natural bodybuilding, then all they're going to see is the enhanced realm. So, you know, I'll be more active, and I know you will as well. And I thank you for even putting that out there. So, you know, we're gonna have something in mind, and we're going to make it work. But thanks so much, Avi, and God bless you, and I hope to see you soon, man.
Oh, absolutely. God bless as well. Appreciate you guys for having me on the show.
Oh, not a problem. It was an honor. It was an honor to have you here, I'm telling you. Thanks a lot, buddy.
Thank you.
You have a blessed night.
All right, you too. Take care.
So that was Avi. Did a great job. Great night. Just great show. And thank you, everybody, so much. Keep listening. Keep your questions. And in honor of my dad, take a bite. Fletch up. Your body's a temple. Let's build.